before we do the test, I mean the hallmark, negligence. Negligence is an unintentional tort. We covered the big intentional torts. What's the difference between something that's intentional and something that's unintentional? What? Well, hold on a second here. Does it mean you necessarily meant to do what it is that you are accused of?
No.
No. It means you meant to do whatever the act was that caused the harm. That's the distinction between the intentional torts and negligence. Negligence means you didn't necessarily mean to do what you did that caused the harm. But whatever you did was the proximate cause. And that type of inappropriate behavior, the type of harm that was suffered, was foreseeable. So again, if I go moshing in a church, it is foreseeable that I'm going to punch a little old lady. That is the key. Person didn't mean to do what they did. They did it anyways. Because let's be honest, we as human beings are stupid. We react by our impulses. You know, we don't necessarily always, with every single action that we do, take a pause and think, do I go left or I go right? Sometimes we just do. But sometimes when we just do, it causes something wrong to happen. And that wrong could result in someone being harmed. You text it on your phone while you drive, and a little kid runs out between a car and you squish him flat. Did you mean to kill the kid? No. But you did something wrong that resulted in harm. Here is the catch. Like all torts, the burden is on the plaintiff, always, to start the case. So the plaintiff must be able to present, by a preponderance of the evidence, enough data, evidence, facts, to persuade the jury that all these are true. Because by the way, if you get 4 out of 5, it's not enough to win a claim. You must be able to present that there was a duty, there's an expectation that you behave in a certain way in a civil society, that the person chose not to. And that choice of not acting properly was what caused the harm. The harm was foreseeable, and of course the plaintiff actually has to be harmed. Because after all, what's the point of going to court and suing someone if you didn't suffer any damages? What did I do? Somehow shut it off. All right, a couple other things, and we're going to do tariffs off. One, for the average everyday adult, they don't grade somebody being liable for negligence based on their intelligence. There's no IQ test saying that people who are dumb can't be liable for the consequences of their actions. That is not the case. There is no variance. If someone is over the age of 18, the reasonable person standard is used. Now, of course, we have to be mindful of this. Particularly in the fact that there are adults walking amongst us in civil society that are low IQ, that are just, not meaning to be mean or heartless, that are just dumb.
Too many of them.
But they are held to the same standards as someone who's, you know, recognized as being part of Mensa, you know, the high IQ society. Because we, as a civilization, assume that after you spend however many years you spend in public school, coming to age in an American society, we all kind of have a gist understanding of what's right and what's wrong. But kids are not held to the same standard. kids are not held to the adult standard.
If you are suing a child for negligence,
there is a somewhat subjective standard where they will look at the age of the child and the general intelligence of the child. Because let's be honest, when we're kids, sometimes we act like kids and we don't actually understand the consequences of what we do.
So our courts determined a long time ago it would not be fair to hold kids to the same standards in the realm of negligence. So what happens? A 13-year-old kid is going to get judged against other 13-year-old kids. Would an average 13-year-old kid know this? Versus a 9-year-old kid, versus a 16-year-old kid.
Questions?
Professionals are also not held to the same standards as a reasonable adult. I mean, would it make sense to judge a surgeon? You know, someone who went to medical school, someone who has, you know, doctor's degrees, an actual surgery. Would it make sense while they are operating on the operating table to hold them to the same standards as, say, me? I'm good at cutting meat. I like cutting meat. But when I cut meat up, it's because it's going on the grill. It's not going to be able to go back together again. No, a doctor is going to be held to a higher standard, the standard set by the profession. Same thing that is true with any profession. Doctors, lawyers, engineers, architects. Do you want to know an interesting area of case law that's developing? I have no idea where it's going to go. About 20 years ago, contractors started using concrete for home foundations that has a high level of chemicals in it that's not allowing it to cure properly. So as a result, many newly built homes are seeing their foundations cracking. You know, is the contractor going to potentially be opened up to litigation? Could the contractor have known better? Should the concrete company should have known better? Should the engineer? Don't know. But I can tell you, if they ever determine who's to blame, it will be based on the standards of the industry. As opposed to if I was to mix concrete by going to Home Depot and getting those, like, little bags. Oop, I put a little too much water in it. Oop, it's a little too runny. Question. You put your hand up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Question.
Well, I kind of did this one.
Except in my little hypothetical, a contractor was... Oh, actually, this works because I actually know somebody who had this happen to him. A contractor was digging a trench because he was putting sewage into his house. And they never called dig safe. So as he was using the backhoe and he was digging down, he actually ruptured the water main break. Well, who's at fault at that? Actually, he was a subcontractor. He got hired by a contractor to do it. You know, who's at fault for that? Should it be the general contractor, the GC? Should it be the homeowner? Should it be the engineer?
Would it depend on the terms that the contractor had in the contract for the subcontractor? The subcontractor is supposed to be the one to call DC?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Plus, if you've ever seen those DigSafe commercials, they say, don't put a hole in the ground without calling DigSafe first. So, obviously, if the homeowner was to turn around and sue because now they got the bill of having to repair the water line, Are they going to sue the sub? You know, they're going to sue the engineer? It just really depends upon the terms of the contract. But the subcontractor should have known better. So at very least, regardless of what the contract says, the subcontractor would, in that my hypothetical, actually really happened, would be held at least partially liable for that. Why? Because he's in the business. That's what he does. He trenches for sewage companies. So. All right, questions? Oh, it's a good case. Good case. Paul's graph. I like this case. All right. Nico, did you do your homework? That's not going to help you with Paul's craft, is it?
No, apparently not.
No, apparently not. Was it something I said?
Scared him off.
I guess. Austin, did you do homework?
I did.
I had a feeling you would. Ooh, I made a judgment there. Nico, I made a judgment.
What?
Well, I assumed Austin would be right. That's the reason why he's got your back. Make sure you give him a fist bump. All right, what happened in Paul's craft?
So Helen, this 40-year-old lady, she was waiting at a railroad station. She was waiting.
Wait, they let women go on railroads? Oh my God, women actually could go on railroads? I thought we were a misogynist country, a patriarchy. Women could actually go on railroads?
At this moment, yeah.
Oh, all right. What was she doing?
She was waiting.
Was she serving? Was she a waitress?
No, she was waiting. Not waiting, she was waiting. She was at the platform of the train station.
Oh, what's a platform? What are you talking about?
The trains come.
Where the trains come?
Yes.
Why not just on the ground?
Well, that's where you should wait for the train.
Oh. But just not on the ground.
What do you mean the ground?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what a train platform is.
Like the waiting area is waiting for the train.
What's the purpose of having a waiting area?
So you have a space to sit in the chair and wait for the train.
Oh, okay. Wait, yeah, now she's waiting again? Cocktails? Snacks?
Not that.
Oh. Mr. Goodbar?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a Mr. Goodbar? You should. You should. Mr. Goodbar, it's good kid.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, so she's waiting on a train platform.
Yes, and there's guards. They're helping this dude out.
Do they have guns?
No, they don't have
guns. They have tasers?
No.
Are they clubbing them?
They're not clubbing them, but they're helping them in to the train as it's going.
What does this have to do with the woman?
Well, he has his package, right? And then while the guards are helping him on the train, he drops his little package.
Oh, did it break?
Yeah, it broke.
Oh,
it
man.
Exploded. It
what?
Yeah.
He had a bomb?
He had fireworks.
Fireworks?
Yeah, he had fireworks inside.
Interesting. Was it legal for him to have fireworks?
Yeah,
that would make, bless you, what would make you think that? Well, you know, there was actually a time when everything wasn't illegal. Just saying.
Yeah.
Plus, actually, I think the only state that fireworks are illegal is Massachusetts today, so.
Yeah. It's the only state.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so he had fireworks.
Yeah, sure.
Have you ever played with fireworks before? Go like this.
Yeah.
Did you lose a thumb on that hand?
I'm holding the
thing. Oh, all right. Just making sure you get to it safely. Yeah. All right, so. You've played with fireworks before. Have you ever dropped a firework?
Yes, like set it on fire and throw it.
Did it blow up?
Sort of. Like spun really fast.
Oh. Only because you lit it.
Yeah.
But have you ever had one that you didn't have before and just drop it?
Those little pop ones, those ones that pop, yeah.
Oh, they still sell those? Those little snap pop things? Oh, I used to love those as a kid. We used to throw them at each other's head.
Yeah.
Oh, you did too?
Nice.
Oh, good. Nice to see the time zone change. All right, well, boys being boys, just saying. All right, so
I'm having a hard time understanding this. He had this package, he dropped it, and it blew up.
Well, the guards have helped him on. The guards on the train station.
The guards set it on fire?
They didn't set it on fire, they helped him on. They just made him do sort of push him to the egging him on the train.
Why are they egging him on the train?
To help him get on the train for this sort of job.
I thought you said there was a platform or something. Why didn't you just walk off the platform on the train?
No, that's what he's on the platform going into the train.
I'm so confused. He's walking onto the platform to get on the train.
Yeah, and he's going, and he's trying to catch up to it. And the guards are like, helping him. He drops his back.
Is this like the T?
The T?
The T?
Yes.
Have you ever gone to Boston?
No, not really.
Oh, have you ever been on a subway?
Not really.
No. So you have no idea what I'm talking about. I said the T. The T is Boston subway system. Because usually what happens with the T is the train comes in, stops, doors open, people get on, doors close, boom, it goes. But I've never seen someone getting pushed on a T by a guard once the train is pulling out of the station. Do you know what type of train this is? Do you know what type of trains they had in 1929 or whenever this took place?
I don't.
Ah, they were the old steam locomotives. And typically what happened was, is just because a train was pulling out of the station, it couldn't get to maximum speed. So just because it was leaving, you still had the ability to get on the train. But getting on the train while the train's moving isn't exactly the smartest, nor the safest thing.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to figure out what the waitress is doing.
Or not, Lady Helen. She's just Helen.
Okay, just Helen. Not a waiter. Well, you said she was waiting, so I'm just trying to get it straight.
The package that exploded caused
she blow up?
She didn't blow up.
Oh, that would have been exciting.
It knocked a large scale. That was down the platform. They injured also.
Scales? I'm still just trying. What the hell was there a scale doing on a train station platform?
Not like a scale. I don't know the exact thing that it pushed, but it hurt something.
It was definitely a scale, though.
Not a scale, no. But like, I meant like the wall.
Like a mirror?
No.
A clock. A poster. I'm just confused. Are you confused?
Yeah.
Alright, so let's go back to this. Woman on a platform, not a waitress, waiting for a train. Explosion. She didn't blow up. Explosion. Some type of scale fell. And hit her. What? Does anybody know why there would be a scale at a train station?
Seeing the way the trains carry luggage.
For the luggage. Because if the luggage weighs too much, does the train get out of the station?
No.
No, so we're not talking a little bathroom scale. We're talking a big scale. That scale fell over. Hit her. Die? She got hurt.
Yeah.
So what did she do?
She sued the railroad company and the saying that claiming that the employees were careless in the accident of being on the train.
Could they be negligent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
The extra credit.
I don't know if he's prepared, though.
He's prepared.
Got that shit on me.
All right, I'll give him some extra credit. That's fine. You get all the hard questions.
Oh, fuck.
I did do it.
What happened in the trial court?
In the trial court?
Who won at trial?
She did. Yeah.
Wait. What grounds did she win?
Because she was pretty much saying that there was wrongful doing, and that because they helped the guy get on the train, the package fell, so that caused everything like for her to get. It was caused by breach of duty.
Well, hold on, no. This is the key. So, you're saying breach of duty, all right, so we got that, we had a duty, they're supposed to act responsibly, there's a breach, and that this breach was the proximate cause. What duty was breached?
To protect her, to protect her.
Well, hold on a second here. Did the agents of the railroad company do anything directly to her?
No.
So how can the trial court think there was a breach of duty?
I don't know, she sold it good.
Well, hold on.
Failure
to do what?
Exercise.
What did the guards or the staff or the agents potentially do that could have given rise to the harm? Where did they act inappropriately?
By helping the guy and having his package fall.
Did they do one of these?
No.
They swat the ball?
No.
He's going up for a layup, knock it out of his hands?
Nope.
No. I'm still trying to figure out where they did something wrong.
Yeah,
tried helping the guy get on the train so he wouldn't be late. What about this?
Yeah.
What happened to her?
Well, it got reversed because that...
Well, no. Don't get ahead of me.
Sorry.
What happened to her?
She got hurt.
By what?
By the scale.
Well, hold on a second.
Is the scale falling foreseeable?
You help somebody get on a train. Is that foreseeable that a scale would fall and hit the woman?
Nope.
Then how on earth did the trial court find for her? Do you think the railroad was pleased? So what did they do?
They appealed it.
They appealed it. On what grounds?
That it wasn't foreseeable.
Well, is that an error?
Yeah.
On the part of the trial court?
Yes.
Why?
Because they didn't think about that, I guess.
Oh, possibly. What did the appeals court say? And by the way, the New York Court of Appeals is New York's Supreme Court. So it got all the way up to the state's highest court. What did the high court say?
That, you know, their act of helping the guy wasn't a wrongful act. They were trying to help somebody to prevent him getting injured or something, possibly falling off. So, and it wasn't foreseeable that nobody knew what was in his package.
Okay, so let's go back to the elements. All right, so I believe it said that the explosion was at the other side of the station.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe the court also said the foreseeable zone of danger. If there was going to be something that went wrong with the guard helping the guy get on the train, where would be the foreseeable zone for this to take place?
Right there where he was getting on.
Probably here. Could any reasonable-minded person foresee, because again, we use the reasonable person standard, foresee that something happens over here, even an explosion of fireworks, could all the way down the other side of the platform cause the scale to fall over and hit the light? Why not?
That's just crazy.
That is crazy. So, what do we need to use to determine the proper outcome of this case?
down here. The elements and everything. So,
well, no, let's think about it. Because we got to understand foreseeability, right?
Yeah.
Is it foreseeable that if a guard pushes someone on a train, something might happen? What is that?
The guy falling or something?
The guy could fall. So that is foreseeable.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Him getting hurt or the guards falling or something.
Okay, so something could happen to him, something could happen to the guards. He's also carrying stuff.
Maybe somebody next to him or something getting hurt.
Okay, but again, if you're holding someone and someone pushes you,
right.
What's also foreseeable?
You can run over by the train, right?
Well, potentially.
I mean,
you could fall, you could trip, you could drop whatever you have.
Yeah, right.
Right? That's all foreseeable.
Right.
How often does somebody go to a train station carrying fireworks wrapped in a newspaper? If the guards would have known he was carrying fireworks, say he had a box that said fireworks on it, do you think they would have pushed him?
No.
What did they see him carrying?
A box with newspaper.
Yeah, it was like a present.
Yeah.
Okay. And even if they knew it was fireworks, have you ever played with fireworks?
No.
Never, ever?
Probably when I was younger.
Okay, so you did safely. Did you ever drop a firework?
No.
No? I have. Every now and then for 4th of July. Look, I got. Every now and then for 4th of July, we go up to New Hampshire, we get those big rockets. A couple times I've dropped them. But you know what's never happened anytime I ever dropped a damn firework?
Somebody's scale falling.
No, they never go off. It's like dropping a pen. Ready? Here you go.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
What are the chances? Of course, you know what ended up happening. The train causes friction, which heated up the rails, which when the newspaper hit the rails, caused the paper to spark, and that caused the boom.
That makes sense.
But again, is that likely? Because that's what foreseeability is. Is it likely to occur? What are the odds? Yeah, exactly. All right, so even if we agree that the guy dropping the package and it having it actually explode is not likely, look at my awesome artwork. 20 feet down the other side, a big steel arm scale used to weigh suitcases and parcels and packages. What are the chances of it actually falling over and hitting the woman? So, could you say that what they did, even if they did have a duty, even if they breached the duty, that breach was the actual cause of her injuries?
I guess it caused it, but it wasn't like a intentional thing. Like if they didn't help the guy, they wouldn't have fell. But you
know. Lots of dominoes needed to fall.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's go to here, because this is ultimately where it falls apart.
Yeah. It is not foreseeable.
Not foreseeable. So, was she hurt?
Yep.
No. Was it related directly to what occurred? Could she prove it?
Yeah. No.
Could have been an earthquake for all you know.
Yeah.
So, should she get any money?
No.
Not at all. Too bad for the waitress. Very good, thank you. Questions? Alright. So as you read the negligence chapter, and as you try figuring things out and becoming more and more knowledgeable, here are some general keys to negligence you must keep in mind. Key number one. Duty of care. There cannot be actionable negligence if there is no duty of care. If somebody doesn't owe you a duty, even if they do something dumb, you cannot sue them for negligence. But what are we talking about with duty? Well, it depends. It depends. Under the common law, a duty could be created by relationships. And again, we saw some of those under the bystanders rule. Parent to child, husband to wife, those type of things. If there's a relationship, there may be a duty. They also recognize things like landlord-tenant. But if you are some random person, and you have no relationship to the party, you don't really necessarily owe them a duty. But, they know. Sometimes the state legislatures pass laws that do establish certain duties that were not thought of under the common law. Driving responsibly. Obeying traffic laws. Following local building codes and ordinances. Government regulation standards. You know, think of like the FDA, for example, the Food and Drug Administration. They basically regulate food and drug companies. And they tell them what they can and cannot put into food that we consume. Well, that regulation essentially creates a duty. And if a drug company or a food company doesn't follow those, they could be held liable. Any of you ever read about like the meatpacking industry at the beginning of the late 19th century, early 20th century? Yeah, what are we talking about by contaminants?
Rats.
Yeah, rats. Human body parts. Sometimes some of the workers, you know, got a finger ripped off. There, that's no big deal. Little extra spice. So, as long as the company does... Have you ever watched that movie, Super Size Me? You seen the crap that they put in McDonald's food? And how many of you still go to McDonald's? I mean, I like it. I like watching the video. There was a video on YouTube I saw about how they made chicken nuggets. And I was always amazed that the paste somehow was like orange. It's like, that doesn't look like it's chicken flavored or colored or whatever, but it is what it is. So, if a company violates those standards, essentially they could be sued for negligence. So, be mindful. Ignorance of the law is not a defense. If you're going to go into a particular industry, if you're going to take up a particular profession, you will be held accountable to the standards of those professions, whether you know about it or not. Are any of you nursing majors here? No? No one's a nursing major here? You know how much stuff nurses need to know? No, we're not just talking about medical science. Because if you get into a room and you help a patient and you don't follow the standards of the industry, well, you will be held personally responsible. A statutory duty, if established, applies to you whether you want it or not. So, if you're driving your automobile down the road, and Massachusetts is a hands-free state, and you cause an accident because you were touching your phone in any way, certain shape, or form. By the way, the police do have a right to check your phone to see if you were using it at the time that the incident occurred. If you are, you will, under Massachusetts law, will by default, will be held liable, responsible for any acts that you cause. Even unintentionally. Why? The state wants to hold us accountable to engage in a certain degree of behavior. And by the way, up there, whether you meant to do it or not, unintentional or intentional, you could be held responsible. And by the way, if the state get involved, it's no longer a civil infraction, it becomes criminal. And we've already generally covered the punishments if you are found guilty of committing a crime. Fines, incarceration, all the way up to old Sparky in some states. By the way, I heard an interesting stat over the weekend. Florida is leading the country in executions this year. They've already executed 23 criminals on death row. 23. Yeah, good on DeSantis. Why do I say it that way again? I'm sure most of the people that do get executed actually meant to do what they did. But every now and then, people do end up in jail just because they did something dumb. Decided to go out and have fun with some of your buddies and tie a little glow on. Be it the way I do it, jug, 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 or the way some of you do it with this crap. You get in a car and you kill somebody, it doesn't matter if you didn't mean to do it. You will be prosecuted. And you will be hopefully given by your friend soap on a rope. Because you don't want to be dropping that soap in the shower. Here is something. If there is a pharmacy and you go to pick up a prescription, if they don't label your prescription properly, the pharmacist could be held personally liable.
Also, like with I work at a dispensary, so we have to label all third party flower and all medical flower as well.
Yeah.
And if you don't, we can get in trouble by the CCC.
Yeah, exactly. And you would probably be held personally responsible for that. So you got to make sure that that consumer is getting exactly what you are claiming they are getting. Because you could be held negligent, whether you meant to do it or not. I've already done traffic laws, covered those. And by the way, if you violate a standard established under the law, it's commonly referred to as negligence per se. Negligence per se. In other words, you will be held liable. The jury does not consider the issue of negligence because you have been found that you violated the standard established under the law. So, you're driving down a back road and you drop your water bottle on the floor. You bend over to grab it and bam! You smash into, what was that little lady's name? Ellen Paulsgraf? And yeah, squish her.
Sorry.
Well, guess what? Should you, while driving, have bent over to pick up your water bottle? Where should your eyes have been? On the road. Did you take them off? Okay, it didn't matter. They don't have to establish duty, breach, proximate cause. Because the harm is foreseeable. Because the standard under the state statute says eyes on the road all time. No distracted driving.
What if I'm going through a green light on my phone and somebody runs a red light and T-bones me?
In Massachusetts, that person will be held liable.
The person on the phone?
The person running the red light.
Oh, all right. I was about to say.
Yeah, you said he ran a red light.
That's what I'm just thinking.
Yeah. What, you think the red light is there just to look at?
You're on your phone. Who knows?
Well,
they wouldn't even think to question you, honestly. Red light.
Yeah. If someone goes through a red light, again, that's negligent per se. Because what does the law say for a standard of duty? When that little light goes from green, right? The moment it changes from green, what are we supposed to do?
Slow down.
No, when it hits yellow, you speed up. But then the moment it hits red, you don't say, well, I still got, like, it's the 5-second rule. I can still get through. No, you have to stop, because if anything happens, you're going to be held liable.
Even if it's, like, still yellow once you go through it, but it turns red, you'll still be held liable.
You will still be held liable if anything happens.
You should stop.
But can you argue that you didn't have enough time to stop?
It depends upon the situation. If you kill somebody, you can argue all you want.
Oh, yeah.
But I do know that one of my buddies drove a truck. He was driving a 10-wheel international box truck, and it was loaded almost to the maximum weight. And he actually got pulled over for running a red light. But he argued, and he actually won successfully because of the weight of the truck. And it turned out that the yellow light was off in timing. It was off by like a second. Like it was a quick yellow light that he could not actually stop his vehicle safely. So it was a better choice to go through than rather risk, you know, fishtailing and possibly killing somebody. But there was nobody coming either way. So it's not like he decided, oh, look, there's a whole bunch of cars. Let's see if I can dodge them. Other questions? Before we do this, what was the other case? Wiener!
Wiener,
wiener, wiener, chicken diner. All right, let me find my little grid. Lucas, did you do homework?
Yes.
Atta boy. Stand before the court, please. All right. Wiener, what happened here?
Mr. Abrams, Stephen Abrams, killed two children in a playground on a busy street. And it's injured several other kids.
Was it that day of the week?
What?
Was it that day of the week?
Maybe.
There's a day of the week we're supposed to drive in playgrounds and kill kids?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious. Just curious. What state did this take place in?
I don't remember. Oh, in California.
California! They have some weird laws in California, but I don't think they have a dedicated day of the week where you're supposed to drive through parade grounds and squish little kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would assume
so what happened? Obviously, he did something wrong. What did he do?
Killed two kids.
We said that already.
He drove through the fence in a Cadillac.
Ooh. What was the overall layout of the street?
It was very busy.
Okay.
And it was, I think it was straight, a lot of businesses next to each other.
So it was just a single road. It was just a single road? Is that what you're telling me?
I believe so.
So it was just a road.
Just a road.
Then how the heck did the car get up? So if this is the fence, you said there was a fence.
Yes, about right. 3-4 feet away from the road.
Okay, so maybe there was a sidewalk. Mm. And we got little kids in here.
Yes.
So the car just kind of did like, one of those?
It went straight through the fence and killed them.
Well, if he was going along the side of the road, how did he go straight through the fence?
He intentionally did it.
Hold on, what was the road layout? Because this is also important. Wasn't it a T? Because didn't he go this way?
I think so, yeah.
All right, so you said three. So there was obviously a sidewalk. There was grass or something. Then there was the fence. What type of fence was it?
It was not a tall fence. Like a metal fence, I believe.
Just like a chain link fence?
Yes.
Okay, so there was a chain link fence. Obviously, what a chain link fence designed to do?
Just keep the kids contained.
To keep the kids in. Why would a daycare center have a chain link fence around where the kids would play?
It's so they can keep an eye on them and they don't escape.
Exactly, because what happens if they go from here to here?
It's very dangerous. Yes.
Okay. But this guy went barreling through and went right into the playground in a Cadillac.
In a Cadillac, yeah.
So 3 or 4 feet, went up on a curb, drove through the fence, drove into the playground. Yeah. Why? Did he hate kids?
He was not having a good day, I guess.
Not having a good day, yeah. I can't imagine how he would. So, is he suing the kids for getting blood on his car or something?
No.
Who's suing who? The school suing
him?
Him? What'd you say his name was?
Stephen Abrams.
So he's not Wiener, nor is he South Coast Child Care Centers.
Yes.
So who's suing who?
That's a great point. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the parents of the children. And who are the parents of the children suing?
The school. The school. Center.
What, did the guy work for the school?
No, but the...
Did the guy, was he making a delivery at the school?
No, they thought that it wasn't protected enough. Because the school wasn't protected enough.
Oh. Oh. Interesting. What happened during the trial?
The trial court granted judgment for the defendants.
So the child care center. Why did the trial court grant summary judgment to the child care center?
Because they granted it so unforeseeable.
What was the harm that was suffered?
The killing of 2 kids.
Do they have a duty to prevent that type of harm?
I guess not.
Why? You said it a minute ago.
Because it was unforeseeable.
It's unforeseeable. How many child care centers that are along a road in the United States on any given day have a guy come barreling through the intersection, across 3 or 4 feet, up onto a curb, and go through metal fencing to squish the kids?
Not a lot.
So there's your foreseeability, right?
Yeah.
Do you agree with the decision of the trial court?
I guess so.
All right. You good?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, me too. Very good.
It also, I just want to add too, it did say that there was no similar, like nothing like that had ever happened in that area, ever. I think.
Oh! Now, no, well, that could potentially go to foreseeability, right? How often, even in just the neighborhood, does someone drive across 3 or 4 feet, go up on a curb, and go up through a fence and squish kids?
There, never.
Never. Never. All right, very good.
I'm good.
I think so. Are you?
I think so.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. No, thank you. Amber. You got a goofy grin on your face. All right, there. It went to the appeals court, yeah? What happened at the appeals court?
They reversed the judgment.
Why?
That the incident was foreseeable.
Oh, so it was foreseeable.
And the review was granted.
Oh, and then it went up again?
It's
right, because the trial court ruled one way, it went to the appeals, the appeals court reversed it, and then the daycare center appealed it to the state Supreme Court. What did the state Supreme Court have to say?
They basically said it wasn't foreseeable. They basically kind of went back and said what the original trial court said, because like he had said there was just no evidence. And then they tried to use like the mail truck, because there was an incident like a long time ago with the mail truck that he like was reaching to go put mail in and like accidentally like fell out of the truck, so it went into like the gate or whatever. Yeah.
Bam. But it didn't go through.
Yeah, but that wasn't like intentional. Like he didn't mean to do that. This person literally meant to drive his car through
do you remember Coon v. Pub Zone? What was the rule that we learned in that case?
Shit.
I'll keep that shit.
What's the rule that we learned from Coon v. Pub Zone?
Is that the bystander?
Could a business be held liable for the criminal acts of a third party?
Only if it's
foreseeable. The bikers. Bar knew. Did the daycare center know this guy apparently had some type of axe to grind with kids on some random day? Never happened before. Gets in a caddy, punches it, and comes flying straight up over and through. Is that foreseeable? Okay. By the way, was Abrams out there targeting these types of facilities?
No.
Yes, he was. He was actually going out and about trying to find a daycare center to do something like this. I think he was looking to get TV famous.
Did it say that?
It did. It did.
Don't say that. You might have cut that part up.
Oh, that wasn't in there?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now, here's the thing. If the Baptist church, who owns the daycare, knew that he was out, how would they? Well, let me rephrase it. How would they know that he was out to get them?
I mean, if it was on the news or something, they wouldn't know. They could assume that they could potentially be, but they would never know because unless he stated, like, I'm going out there to everything.
Called him up on the phone and said, I'm going to come get you.
Yeah.
What could be another way? What happens if every single day for 3 months one of the daycare center workers sees them drive by and slow down and check them out every single day for a week or a month or something like that? Well, that would lead to foreseeability, right? But there is no evidence of that occurring. He was planning it, but no one at the center had ever known. All right. What about the fence? Should the daycare center have put a barrier up that could have stopped cars coming through?
I mean, that's not realistic. I mean, at a T-line like that, I mean, that would face it. Yeah.
What barrier is going to stop a car?
Well, hold on a second. Should a business have a duty, even a daycare center, to protect from all possibilities, even remote? What would happen to the business? Could they stay in business?
Probably not.
You know how many restaurants closed because of all those ridiculous restrictions that they put on us during the COVID that was based not on science? You laughed. They had to go out and get all the plexiglass and all the shields and all the rest. So many restaurants, small mom and pop businesses, closed. They couldn't afford to do it. Well, could you imagine the cost of every single place that has kids that had to build a car-proof barrier around wherever the kids potentially could be?
And it has to be like reinforced steel
in order
for a car not to go through.
Yeah, exactly. You have to get Jersey barrier. Yeah, exactly. Would it be fair to the business to hold them to that level of standards?
No.
Because again, what had never happened at this place before, other than the mail truck? If cars had gone through, though, we talk in a different scenario. But because cars had never done it before. They didn't know he was out on the prowl, and it had never happened before. There's no way they could have foreseen it.
So if it happens again 6 months later, is that considered foreseeable?
Possibly. If it would happen again, yeah. Because did they do anything different?
Probably not.
Are you done?
I don't know.
I think so. I just wanted to check with you before I let you go.
No way.
Here's a quote. I don't know if I left it in what I left on the line, but here's a quote from the case.
A criminal can commit a crime anywhere. The burden of requiring landlords to protect against crime everywhere has been considered too great in comparison with the foreseeability of crime occurring at a particular location to justify imposing an omnibus duty on landowners to control crime. It makes no sense to require a business to try to protect from anything that could happen.
Yeah, it also said too that like the criminal can
connect
back anywhere, but of course
you get bribed. Yeah, exactly. Questions? Alright. Common law duties. Common law duties. I'll collect them before we go. Under the common law. Generally speaking, common law duty is imposed based upon the common practices of individuals. Meaning, the law seeks to establish a standard based upon what typically happens. That is always the goal. Again, that's the crux of foreseeability. If something has happened and could happen again, then you may have a duty to at least prevent it from at least reaching maximum results. Am I boring you?
No.
You up late last night?
No.
Are you dealing with the fact that we gained an extra hour of sleep?
Probably a little bit of that.
Do you know scientists say that your body could be impacted for up to the next 3 weeks?
Actually,
we got to get rid of that clock change and stuff.
I think it's useless.
No, it's for the farmers.
For the farmers in World War I.
They can figure it out.
Isn't there states that don't do it?
There are some states that don't do it.
How does that work?
Yeah, right.
Some states go to Connecticut.
It's full. They didn't want us to like get miles earlier.
When we go down to Connecticut.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Think of this way. Bystander's rule of obligation. Under the bystander's rule of obligation, when are you a bystander?
When you have nothing to do with what's going on.
When you have nothing to do with anything. You were just sitting there, and the whole world goes crazy around you, but you didn't do a single thing to contribute to the harm. That is the absolute standard of common law duty. That is the minimum. If you didn't do anything to contribute to the harm, you have no duty to interfere. You have no duty to lift a finger. Because what could happen if you do something? You could add to the harm and you could be liable. And do you want the law forcing you to do something that could get you sued? No, not at all. So, there's no legal duty to rescue another who is in peril. There's no duty to protect another from any type of harm. Unless, as we said, under the common law, there's a special relationship. So, if I was to stand there by Lake Quinsigamon, and look out into the water, enjoy the nice cool breeze, and I was to see you out on a sailboat, and you were to fall off on the sailboat, and you were to be in the water, and you'd be saying, "Help me, help me, help me." Could I not take out my phone and take a whole bunch of selfies? Look who's in the background. Hey, dumbass is drowning. Could I not do that? Could you sue me? Or your estate sue me?
Yeah.
No! Did I put you in the water? Did I force you off the boat? Did I tell you to go on a boat when you don't know how to swim? No. But what happens if you were my child?
Yes.
Then I would. As much as my kids used to drive me nuts when they were younger, I could not sit there and watch them go under and be like, yes! Could not do that.
I will be held liable.
Both under the common law and under statutory law. What if you were my employee?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the clock.
Oh, well done. Well done. If you were my employee and you worked at my little country store and I saw you out on a sailboat fall off, would I have to go out and help you? No, because I don't sell anything to do with sailboats. You know what I'd be doing? Putting that help wanted sign in the window. But what if we rented sailboats?
Yeah.
And you were out making sure the new sail was put on right? Then I would. So obviously I'm giving these examples because you got to be aware of if there's a relationship, there is going to be a duty. You cannot claim bystander. But if there is no relationship, no duty to do a damn thing. Oh, what about this? Remember the hole that Clueless fell in?
Yeah.
What if I put a whole bunch of Hershey's Kisses, like a trail, leading them to the hole, and I put a whole big bag down in the bottom, and he was leaning over, and he fell in? Could he sue me?
Yeah. Possibly.
But for my actions of luring him with those delicious chocolate treats, would he have fallen in the hole? I created the harm. I created the harm. So, you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful.
What if that wasn't your intent? Like, what if you were just having fun?
What was I trying to get little children in there or something like that? It puts it down in the hole. Yeah, it's negligence. Should I have known better? Should I have known leaving a trail of chocolate and putting a bag down in the hole could have led someone to possibly fall in? Yeah, I was obviously trying to trap something.
Fat boy fell.
What?
Fat boy fell.
Fat boy fell. All right. Here's something that, yes?
Are schools held liable ever for, like, school shootings?
No.
No, not at all.
It's not foreseeable.
Yeah, but what if like the kid was like getting bullied or something?
Well, see, that's tough. Because just because someone's being bullied, does that necessarily mean they're going to go out and shoot up the school?
But like, couldn't it be?
I was bullied. I had this kid at my 8th grade, he was a sophomore. He tormented me for the entire year. And then he started doing it again in the 9th grade. You know what I did in the 9th grade? Beat the living shit out of him. Because I just got fed up with it.
But is like the number of school shootings that is in the world like not a foreseeability?
No.
It has to be like within that. Like,
if they found a note, because there's been a couple of kids that were caught. They had a note, they had a target list, and they were just dumb kids and they accidentally left in the bathroom. And they got caught, yeah, then if they didn't do anything about it, then that could be a situation. If a school knew, so let's say you're getting bullied, you told your mom called the school, the bully was identified, the school would have a duty to make sure they were monitoring the situation. They couldn't ignore it. That could potentially lead to it, but again, the nexus of bully equals school shooting. There's not enough.
And the tests, like the fake shooting protocols, that kind of makes them liable because they do practice or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And so long as if anything was to happen, there was no like severe violations. Again, go back to Coon v. Pub Zone. You know, they knew that the bikers were going to come in. They said no policy, no cuts. You know, you couldn't be identified as a biker gang. Allowed them in. They weren't supposed to drink if they had it on. Gave them a drink. You know, they violated their policy. If a school had a school shooter policy and basically didn't lock down the doors, didn't make staff, you know, wear identical badges, you know, if there were violations of the policy, that could be grounds to have the school system get sued in the event of something horrible happens. But I'd like to think that, and it could be naive, that we're at the point now where it will never happen again, but human beings are human beings. so we dealt with special relationships. Here's a hypothetical for you. Let's say you're sitting there and you listen to the radio. And the radio station announces that the first person to find the disc jockey at a point somewhere in town will win a prize, front row tickets to whatever band you like. And in the process, everyone in town, or at least the people who listen to the radio, starts losing their mind and they start driving around the town recklessly, trying to be the first one to find the DJ. And in the process, a teenage driver hits a little old lady and squishes her flat. If the family of the little old lady sues the radio station, will they be held liable for negligence?
I feel like kind of, I think yeah.
Why?
Because they sent the people on the wild goose chase.
Did not there, or do we not, live in a civil society? And does not our society require us all to act to a certain degree of responsibility? Creating a frenzy? The first one there will get the front row tickets! You could, that's the same as starting a riot, exactly. They would be held liable because, but for that announcement, the little old lady likely would still be alive. But because they created an unreasonable risk to others, they would be held liable. Questions? Let's think of this and then we're going to call out of class. Landowners. Landowners. Remember, we did this. Under the common law, three types of classifications for visitors. Invitees. Public or private. Does the owner of the land that has invitees come onto the land, be it a public land use or a private land use,
private.
Do they owe a duty to the invitee?
Yes.
They do. What duties do they owe? A duty to warn. So if you're going to come into my store and there's been a spill, do I have to hold your hand? Do I have to carry you across the puddle? What? How do I have to tell you about it? Little sign. I have a duty to warn. And can I leave that puddle there for 4 months?
If you want.
Well, if I leave it there for that long.
What if there's signage though?
It doesn't matter. If I have a store. Again, think about a store. And I allow a puddle to manifest. The longer it's there, what could likely happen?
You'll slip.
Right. So again, remember what I told you. They have a reasonable time to respond. I think I gave you the situation of going into Walmart at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon versus 2 o'clock at night. You know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon when there's more staff there, the expectation is they clean the mess. They cure the harm as quickly as possible. But at night, the time might be a little longer, but they still need to do it. So whether it's a public, like a park, or a private, a business, the landowner owes a duty, both to warn and to prevent harm. Licensees. Licensees is like you invite one of your buddies over your house. What duty you owe them? That's it, right? If you have a house guest coming over, all you have to do is say, hey, there's a hole on my step. Just be careful of it. Do you have to go up and hold their hands? Do you have to, before they come over, fix the stair?
No, you would have satisfied your duty just by warning him. What do you mean? In this day and age, how do most people communicate? Yeah, exactly. Oh, you didn't tell me about it. Text. 2 hours before you came over. But it would, if there was a phone call, was there someone else in the house that night? Yes.
It's kind of a random question, but I work in a restaurant.
Yep.
And yesterday, this old guy, he walks.
Well, we got a situation here.
He walked straight into glass and hurt himself.
Oof.
Could he sue? Because we didn't have like a sign or something.
He could sue, but is he going to win?
What are
we talking about?
So there's an entryway to the restaurant, and then there's like a glass cube, and then there's another door where you enter the real restaurant.
Can you actually see the doors?
Yes.
So
like there's it's not like a one glass.
So
bars.
We'll say this is the door. Did he go this way?
So the door is this way, and you walked to the other side, like on the side of the door.
That would come down to reasonability. Not him, but would a reasonable person understand that was not the door? If it looked like it could be the door, then possible. But if there's no way, because you had signs, that there's a rug. Oh, a lot of people do? Oh, man. You might want to tell your boss to put some type of signage, not a door.
I told them. Something. My opinion does not matter in a place.
All right. No.
But yeah, it's
you could say, like you could say my law professor said.
It's a Viva in Marlboro. All
right. No homework tonight. Whoa. But there may be a quiz.
Okay, I'll
read. Do you want our homework?
Yeah, homeworks, please. Amber has a stapler.
I feel like prefer homework over the quiz.
It's nice to prefer, isn't it? Put it on the table.
I'm gonna need some.
Why?
That fucking test killed me.
No, it didn't.
You don't think so?
You're still standing, you're still real, you're not a figment of my imagination.
I think it didn't kill you. Might have a little.
No, you're fine.
Think you're sure?
You're fine.
All right.
Did you get an F?
No,
you're fine then.
All right.